Welcome back to the Spoken Wood Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Vanderlist, and for today's episode, we have an article that was written and recorded for us by Charles Davis of the Wood Zealots Workshop. It's titled, How to Use Kickback for Laying Out Joints, and was originally posted August 28, 2010. Now, to find today's post, along with many other well-written and equally funny articles, visit Charles' weblog, The Wood Zealots Workshop, at woodzealot.com. Of course, as I always do, I'll make sure to have links in the show notes to make it that much easier for you to get there. So without further delay, let's get on with the show.
I had never experienced table saw kickback before. For those uninitiated, this occurs when the workpiece rides up on the back of the blade while being trapped against the fence. The workpiece is then literally shot back towards the operator. Consider the physics. My table saw turns at a rate of 3,450 revolutions per minute. I did the calculations, and that translates to a workpiece moving exactly ludicrously fast.
Prepare ship for light speed!
No, 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 light speed is too slow!
Light speed too slow?
Yes, we're gonna have to go right to ludicrous speed!
Ludicrous speed? Sir, we've never gone that fast before. I don't know if the ship can take us.
What's the matter, Colonel Sanders? Chicken?
Until today, I have to say that I hadn't even given the notion of kickback much respect. I've had pieces get tossed back at the speed of slow pitch softball and thought, that's not too bad. I could take that.
I'm not afraid. You will be.
But the real deal is a whole different story. I literally lost my breath when my workpiece kicked back and hit me on my right side with a thundering whack that must have been heard around the world. Stunned for a second.
No, Kelly Clarkson!
And in that instant, I wondered, perhaps oddly so, if the severe impact would stop my heart. I then figured out that my heart is kind of located on the other side of my body, and that it would probably be fine.
Hallelujah!
Next, I figured that I had just become meat on a stick. Not until I saw my entire side in a mirror was I sure that I was not stuck like a pig. Now, some may think that this was an accident, but I must say, this is not the case. I kept losing my pin board when I went to transfer pin locations. So logically, I thought, what if I had the pin locations marked on my body?
Forecast for tomorrow, a few sprinkles of genius for the chance of doom.
I know, you're kicking yourself for not coming up with this brilliant idea. My plan was brought to fruition in a mere fraction of a second. Transferring pin locations has never been so easy. The other end of the board is also clearly defined on my flesh, but it includes nipple, and I'm not ready to share that just yet or for free. That's definitely premium site material. You see that white arc on the piece of Paducah? That would be my skin cells.
Yuck!
You can actually see the grain pattern of the piece of wood on my skin. Now I have to be mindful not to kill anyone with this sucker, as it clearly would not pass the if it does not fit, you must acquit test. At this point, I'm hoping it leaves a permanent mark. How hardcore would I be then? I totally would go to woodworking shows just to lift up my shirt, nod like a badass, and say, yeah, that's an offset box joint.
I am not to be truffled with.
What's a little more troubling is to think of what could have been. I could easily be blind now if that board hit me in an eye. Although I'm not completely sure that I'm even vulnerable to blindness, given I've not yet suffered effects from the countless years of unrelenting masturbation.
A little too far. Cross the line.
What was my specific technique?
Let me tell you why I suck.
First, I was in a hurry just to make a quick cut so I'd have a test piece for a groove I was about to make. This was not going to be any sort of significant shop session, and thus I was, of course, exempt from having to follow any safety rules. So no safety glasses, no shirt, there's no woodworking like naked woodworking, no dust mask or even dust collection on. Yes, I did have a push stick and a splitter. Another mistake was cutting too small a piece to be safely cut on a table saw without use of a sled. Thinking of the table saw lawsuit that the woodworking community has been following this past year, I decided to look at the crime scene with the proper perspective. What tool caused this injury? Then it jumped out at me. The bench dog push stick is offset to the right, pulling the body of the user to the right and in line with dangerous kickback situations. Clearly, my pain and suffering was due to this poorly designed tool. Sadly, I would not be surprised to see someone make that frivolous argument. It's an awesome push stick, and this injury is just a stupid accident wherein I not so proudly have to own my own stupidity for it occurring.
In Japan, you must always commit suicide to avoid embarrassment.
Thanks again for listening to today's episode of the Spoken Wood Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it, and if you did, please consider subscribing to the show so you won't miss a single episode. Subscribing is quick, it's easy, and more importantly, it's totally free. By subscribing today, you'll be guaranteed not to miss another episode. To find out more information about today's author or any of the previous authors who've appeared on the Spoken Wood Podcast, stop by our website at www.spokenwoodpodcast.com, where you'll find all the show notes and links so you can find them that much easier. And one more thing. Do you have a blog post or an article you'd like to share with the audience of the Spoken Wood Podcast? Drop me a line to get more information about how today at spokenwoodpodcast@gmail.com. Until the next episode, take care, and we'll be talking to you soon.